So that we're talking today about sharing our stories, and just so you know, that's not a theology on marriage, but you know that passage in the Bible where it talks about, you know, no marriage in heaven? Isn't that sad? There's this like essence that goes with love where it's like never ending, never failing, and we get that from Jesus. But so that's kind of a play on words with that. So we're going to talk about sharing our story, and if you, I'm going to start with a meme because you always go to Facebook. What is that? That statistic I saw this week, it was adults in their 30s, Gayla can help me with this, adults in their 30s, 40s, and 50s spend 6 hours, 60% of them spend 6 hours a week on Facebook. Isn't that crazy? So this is a meme, it comes from Facebook, it's what we're going to start the sermon with. Ready? It's a tip your server, return your shopping cart, pick up a piece of trash, hold the door for the person behind you. Let someone into your lane. Small acts can have a ripple effect. That's how you change the world. I knew people would like that, and I got you right here. That's actually not how you change the world, is it? Would that change? Here's what that would do to the world. Ready? We'd have clean shopping areas. There'd be no trash. People would open the door. I wouldn't have to open my own door. That's nice. And then people would be in my traffic lane. It's like, I don't know if I want them in my traffic lane. But does that change the world? No. What changes the world? The world changer, Jesus, right? And so those are good things. I don't want you to think they're terrible things or anything like that. I'm not that rude. But you got to change the heart, right? And you need the world changer for that. So that's what we're going to talk about. All those things are external. And so we're going to talk about sharing the gospel today, sharing our story. And we can find the importance of that and the way that's done in Romans 1:17. And 10:17, it says faith comes from, and faith is spread from faith to, and I actually say these all the time, so it's cool I got to preach this message. I say, you're going to hear me say this over and over and over, like you have to share your faith, and people have to hear that, and you have to share your faith, and people have to hear that, and I will say this over and over. But as I was asked to preach this sermon, it's the last of our series called Bless, and before I do it, I want to show you this reality, right? Everything in the Bible is real, right? Right? Amen. Everything in the Bible is real. And we put names in here because these people are going where? Hell. Hell is in the Bible, and it is real. Right? And then the roses are people who are now going to. And so we're talking through this blessed series about different ideas of how we can share our faith and share the gospel with people. That's how important it is. I want to get that in our mind before we talk about anything today. And so I was going to share with you my opinion about all this, but my opinion isn't really that important. Actually, my opinion doesn't matter that much. Don't tell my wife I said that. But we're going to talk about where it's written. And this is something you're going to hear us say over and over, especially that through that next series. Like a lot of our opinions and our political opinions and our ideas about sexuality and our ideas about all these different things need to come from the Word of God. Where is it written? And so we're going to actually preach expository today. So even when we preach, there's two main ways of preaching, right? Topical and expository. And expository means verse by verse through the Bible. And topical is like something that we have a topic on that we want to preach about. And even when we preach topically, we need to do that verse by verse, contextually through the Bible. That's called hermeneutics or exegesis. So that's what we're going to do today. And I went to a section of scripture. It's Philippians 3, 1 through 11. And before we get there, we're going to talk about the guy who wrote it. So we do have Christians getting, people getting saved in the church. See the roses? So not everybody knows who Paul is. So I'm going to talk about Paul for a second. You guys are pretty familiar with Paul, right? So his name used to be Saul. He was a persecutor of the church. He was an early convert to Christianity. And there's some words used in Scripture about Paul that I really like. In Acts 8, it says he was breathing out murderous threats. He went from house to house, and he grabbed Christians out of them. And then in Acts 4, it uses this word. Paul ravaged the church. That's who Paul is, or when he was Saul, right? And that's the guy who's writing this letter. So he's on the road to Damascus. He sees Jesus, knocked off his horse. Jesus says, what's Jesus say to him? Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me, right? And then he realizes Jesus is Lord. He meets people, and he goes through the experience of conversion and all that, and people start discipling him. And then he becomes what? An apostle. And he's a church planter. He's like Andrew. He's planting churches everywhere he goes. I think that's a special gift that people have. So he's planting churches and writing letters, and he's like the hero, one of the main heroes of our faith. He writes 27% of the New Testament. Paul's responsible for that. He's responsible for bringing the gospel to Rome. And so this is the guy who wrote the letter. And so I'm going to go into Philippians 3, 1 through 11. And the reason I'm using this for sharing your story is I didn't want to just give you my opinion. I want to see what Paul does. And this section of Scripture is called the most autobiographical section of Scripture in the New Testament. I'll say that again. This is the most autobiographical section of Scripture in the New Testament where Paul talks about himself all the time. And I want to draw some things out of there that we can use in our own sharing of the gospel. And so this is the letter. The letter to the Philippians is, the Philippians are a church, and we want to be the Philippian church, right? Like, they're the only church that just doesn't get straight up scolded. Like, they're giving, and they're doing really well, and they're you got to get into the Bible. This is such a great letter. We could preach through Philippians for like a year. It's so amazing. And even this section of Scripture, there's so much in here. And I have a little freebie for you. If you're a Christian and you're not in the Word of God, like, listen to it on your phone, listen to it in the car, talk to your friends about it. Like, it's going to get inside of you, and it's going to be so exciting, and it's going to change your perspective, and you're going to hear the God who created the universe with his word. That's what this is. That word is going to energize your life, and it's going to change your heart. So get into the Bible. If you are a Christian and you are not into the word, you are missing one of the most amazing pieces of our faith. Amen? Amen. So let's read. If you have a Bible with you, I didn't put this on the screen because it's long, but we're going to read the whole thing. Philippians 3, 1 through 11. Paul's the author, and this is to a church that's doing pretty good. And before I start, he's talking about watching out for false teachers. So if you have your phone Bible or your phone or your Bible with actual words in it, and it's a book, you can read along with me. Ready? 3:1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, get ready, blameless. Wow, that's a statement. For whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. We could just stop and worship with that verse over and over the rest of the service, couldn't we? Wow. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, garbage, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And so that's what we're in today. Wow, isn't there so much in there? Like, we could take one verse and preach a week. There's so much. And like in the middle of it, he just starts worshiping God. Keep that in mind as we get into it. So I want to make a couple observations of this autobiographical section of Scripture and what Paul does when he shares his story and what we can do when we share ours. The first thing that I see here, let me flip my page, is that this story is not about externals. In fact, he starts that right away. Let's go to verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, it is of no trouble to me and is safe for you. Okay, next verse. Very important. Ready? Look out for the dogs. Just out of nowhere. Look out for the dogs. And so I want to tell you, he's talking about internal versus external things. And so if we could put that picture up there of dogs. There we go. This is my neighbor. If you're in here, I haven't met you yet. But my neighbor has one of these dog strollers. And so this guy was walking dogs around my neighborhood. And I was like, what is that? Like, those are ugly children. And then I look at it, and it's dogs. It's like, this is weird. Anyway, that's not the kind of dogs he's talking about, right? And if you're a dog parent, I'm sorry, I just offended you, whatever. So, but the dogs in other parts of the country, they're different. So I was in Afghanistan, and actually my first tour in Iraq, the first time I saw something crazy was a dog eating a human body. What are they? They're scavengers. And so in Afghanistan, I remember I was walking to this other compound, and this big, like, rat-looking dog pops out of nowhere. Pop. I was like, man, you know, I got my 9, I'm good. And then these other dogs, pop, 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 pop. And they're just waiting for me to give them food or to die and eat me, right? So that's the kind of dogs he's talking about. So verse 2, look out for the dogs, look out for evildoers. You ever think sometimes as a Christian we're, like, really, really light on stuff that the Bible's pretty heavy on? Like, we really, really don't want to offend, but Paul is not afraid of that, is he? Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. So he's saying, look out for the scavengers, and what he's talking about is the old way versus the new way. See how he gets into circumcision there? So the works of the law was like circumcision, doing good, you know, your basic law system. Be as good as I can be so I get to heaven. He's saying that's the old way. And the people that are out there preaching that, they're dogs. They're evildoers. That's not the new way. That's focused purely on the externals. And I thought about how I share my story, and I'm guilty of this. So sometimes when I share my story, and you want to tell people what God has done for you, but if you only do that, what are you handing them? If I just tell them about my works, right, what am I handing them? My good works. Hey, look at what God's done in my life here. And I never get to the gospel. I've just handed them good works, and he calls that what? Rotting flesh. And I think sometimes as Christianity, if we never get to the gospel, we're kind of being like those people. I know that that's what I do. A lot of times I'll get into my story, and I only focus on those parts. So that's the first thing I see in the story. The second thing I see in the story is, or in the letter here, Paul's very transparent about his past. And that's why it's autobiographical. Listen, when we get to verse 4, so go to 3, verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason in the confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he goes on the list of who he is. Circumcised on the 8th day, yada, 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 yada. And he's completely transparent about who he is. In fact, Paul does this over and over and over throughout the Bible. And so he's calling a spade, and at the same time, he's identifying with these people he's calling evildoers. Isn't that interesting? So he just said, you're evildoers, but I'm so much more evil. I was the Hebrews. I was blameless under the law. And so he's finding empathy and commonality with the people he wants to reach the gospel. We always think they don't preach to the Pharisees, but they do. We preach to the broken and the Pharisees. We preach to everybody. And so that's what Paul's doing. He's finding commonality, and he has empathy with these people, and that's something we need to do when we share our story, right? So we can see if I meet a drug addict, guess what I used to be? I used to be a drug addict. I'm going to talk to him about my drug use, and I'm going to share the gospel. If I meet a college, someone who has a graduate degree, and they love theology and all that stuff, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about my education. We're going to talk some cool theology stuff. And then I'm going to lead them to Christ. Right? So he's finding empathy and commonality. And here's what he does. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians. He says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I want to talk about that for a minute. I saw a meme on Facebook because I'm on Facebook too much. I saw a meme on Facebook and it said, I hate that I love being manic. What was it? It's like, I love being manic. I hate it. Or something like that. That's what I think about Paul when he shares his story, right? He's like, man, I'm the chief of all sinners and the Pharisee of Pharisees. Like, which one are you, Paul? You know? Are you manic? Are you a liar? He's not. He's just sharing the thing that's relevant at the time. And I want to encourage you that when you're with somebody, God has you with that person for a reason. And you can share a piece of your story that's relevant to their story. And that shows that you have empathy and compassion and understanding. And that you're just like them. See, that's actually what humility is. A lot of Christians, and the reason I mention this is we struggle so much with it, don't we? Like, we think humility is I have to act so much lower than I actually am. That's not humility. That's false humility, which is pride and arrogance. Or I'm up here, you know, and like right when I got saved, the first thing I did was go to Bible college because I thought that's what all good Baptists did. I didn't do it to be a preacher or nothing, just go to Bible college. Because people were acting kind of up here in the church culture I was in. I'm not saying that's Baptist churches. I'm just saying that's what we do, right? But real humility is a correct understanding of who you are and your past and your experience. It's the truth. And that's what I see Paul doing is he's talking about the truth. The next thing I see, this is the same verse. I have become all things to all people. So we all got how to do that. And we can see Paul doing that. So that by all possible means, I might save some. And this is where I step on your toes. And it's really the Lord speaking to me. I didn't plan on this. This is where we get kind of southern, but I won't shout it. I got this microphone in case I start shouting, though. So that by all possible means. So as a worship leader and doing different things in the church, and, you know, our worship is exactly, man, I'm so glad you sang that song this morning. Can you do an audible and sing it after the sermon? Is that cool? Okay. When he sung that, I was like, ooh, that's my message. So that by all possible means. So a lot of times when people come and they talk to me about, do you know, I want you to take a guess. How many times has someone came and made a suggestion or a complaint and talked to me about something that was internal? Like, hey, Chris, are you praying before worship? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you reading the Bible? And then how many times has someone come after me, not come after me, but talked to me about something that was just purely external? The sound, the lights, the volume, the song choice, the yada, 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 yada. You know what I mean? And I think, I'm not saying those are bad things. I want suggestions and opinions and stuff. But it's interesting that no one's really done it with the internal things. Not that often. Isn't that strange? It's because we get so easily caught up in this. And I do it too. Trust me, I do it more than anybody. We get so easily caught up in all these external things. How people view us. What that service was like. Can I? You know what worship is? We're about to get into that. We're about to get into what worship is. It's the shift in the story. So Paul, he's talking about himself. He's talking about his own life. He's talking about all that stuff. And then there's this huge shift. Remember when I read that verse, I'm like, we could just glory and worship in this the whole time. Listen to what he says. Listen to Paul. Here's the shift in the story. This is the change. This is what we got to pick up on. Let's see. Verse 6. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, he's talking about himself. Here we go. Verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. For his sake, I have suffered. So all of his good, all of his bad, notice he said for his gain, and then he says for his suffering, it's garbage. Dirty, rotten garbage. He's comparing it to that rotting flesh that he did before. Because compared to knowing the worth of Jesus and who Jesus is, it doesn't matter. And that's the shift I see in the story. That's the thing I usually don't get to. I don't know why, because I'm scared or because the culture or because whatever. Here's the difference I notice with Paul. It's not God in my story. This isn't about how God is in Paul's story. This is about how Paul is in God's story. See, I can't take the infinite and put him into the finite. I take this finite and I put him into the infinite, and then all of a sudden when Paul's talking and when he's reading, he's like, no, I had this, and I had this, and I had this, and it's all lost for the sake. It's nothing compared to the surpassing worth and glory of Jesus Christ and who Jesus is. And so when we share our glory, we got to give them not the hope in the externals. That's what we do, right? We give them the hope in the externals. Hey, he can fix this. He can fix your man. And that's all good. That's all good, but it may not happen. Listen to what Paul says here. Listen. And this is unpopular. And I'm tired of hearing sermons against it because it's true. He says, listen, I count everything as loss because for his sake, don't miss this. This is verse 7, 8. right at the end of it, right here. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. And man, I hear sermon after sermon, and it is telling you that suffering is not used by God, that suffering is not from God, that it's all supposed to be gravy. That is absolutely untrue. That's why I said earlier, you've got to let this thing in your soul and get into who you are, because Jesus is so good that the suffering, I consider my own suffering and the suffering I see in people's life as nothing of value compared to the value of Jesus, right? And so I think sometimes we're so afraid of that, that we want to give someone hope, and we want to give them hope, and we want their marriage to do better, and we want them healed, and we want to pray for healing, and I want you to do all those things, but I want you to give them the hope. So you guys know what the prosperity gospel is? That prosperity gospel, it's got a lot of truth in it. In fact, most of it's true. It just stops short. It says that my prosperity is in today. But where is my prosperity? It's in tomorrow. It's in when I die. Everybody in this room, I'm going to hit you with something hard. Ready? Everybody in this room, you're going to die. I mean, seriously. So I was in the Army a lot. We went to combat. What's one of the first things that happens? People start getting saved because we forget in America sometimes we're going to die. And every one of us that dies in this room, guess what? That is probably not going to be a pleasant experience. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. When our friends around us die, there's pain and suffering. And every single one of us, it will happen. You're going to experience it. And you know what it is? Nothing. Nothing. Garbage. Because the surpassing glory of Jesus and the resurrection, what he did. Listen to this. This is Colossians 4:3. Paul has a bunch of these. They're prison epistles that he writes from jail. This is to give us perspective. This is Paul, Colossians 4:3. At the same time, pray for us also. He's writing a letter to get some prayer and stuff. That God may open to us a door for the world to declare the mystery of Christ, on account for which I am in prison. What? He's in prison so he can share the gospel. Isn't that awesome? And he's like, hey, pray God will open doors while I'm here. Please pray he'll open. I mean, that just shows you this perspective, this huge shift that we have. And I wanted to share this with you because I struggle so much with it. And I know in my story, sometimes I don't get to that and I'm afraid, you know. I'm afraid of what people will think of me, or God won't do. God will always deliver. And I'll tell you what he'll always deliver on, saving a sinner and that sinner going to heaven every time. And so when we share our story, we need to preach that. And I was thinking like about an illustration this week, and I don't have a sermon illustration, although I like them. Sometimes you can share a story, and it'll hit that point so much better. And I want to share a story with you of something that happened. I did ask her permission, Pat. I don't know if she's in here. There she is. I asked Pat if I could share her story. Laura, she's right next to Pat. She brings her to church. And a couple weeks ago, and this shows my point, and it shows my own failure as a pastor, but which that's a good thing. So Pat is coming up after church 2 weeks ago, and Laura's bringing her up, and she is weeping, and she can barely get up the stairs because she's just in so much turmoil and so much pain, and Laura's holding her up, and they're coming over here, and they're coming over by the cross, and she's saying this: I need to get near the cross, please. Can I get near the cross? Can you get me near the cross? I need to get near. Can you get me near the cross? And then Laura tells me she's recently been blind. And my first thought is like, how do I even minister to this lady? How do I do it? I can't. So we get her near the cross, and I get my wife, because whenever I can't pastor with somebody, I get my wife. And then I go back and like get Andrew too. So come on, boss man. And anyway, so she's back here, and she says this. And this shows that I'm the blind one. And this shows that a lot of us in here, we're the blind one. She says this: Jesus, and she says it over and over, please be with me in my darkness. What? That is the best prayer I've ever heard in my whole life. Jesus, please be with me in my darkness. And she's over here and she's pleading with Jesus. Please be with me in my darkness. And she's weeping and she's crying and she can barely stand up. And how do you minister to that? And you know what I was focused on? The external. Man, I got to put my hand on her hands and just pray in tongues and just, she'll be healed. And what was she focused on? The inner truth of Jesus. And so I prayed all week, and I prayed, and I prayed, and Jess prayed, and we're praying, and I don't even know. Was that prayer effective? Did it mean anything? Did it even matter? Why? I'm so weak in my flesh. She comes in the next week. She's like, hey, where's Chris? And someone comes find me, and I go talk to her. And she says, remember what she said? I'm a brand new person. Right? Because that's the hope that you find in Jesus. And I was searching through the scripture, and it's like, man, I should have known this. I'm so dumb. Because this scripture, it's the word of life. Jesus gives his words to us, and they feed us, and they give us life. Here's what the Psalms say. I want you to really pay attention here. Here's what the Psalms say. That's why this song that Dave picked is so awesome. You guys can start communion and all that stuff. Listen to this, Psalm 139. I want you to think about the darkness that we're in and how we don't share with people that stuff. And think about Pat's story because, Pat, you may be blind, but you are teaching me to see and everyone in here to see. And here's the scripture that was written since the beginning of time. This was written thousands of years ago, and it talks right to your story, right to what just happened. You ready? This is Psalm 139. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. And through her darkness and her crying out to God, guess what I got this week? Light. And I hope that makes sense. That's how we share our story. And I want to encourage you. I was going to get some cards and stuff and like hand out cards and like challenge you guys to share your story. But I was like, man, that might be handing people meat, you know. I just talked against that. Just follow the Spirit as you share your story. As you share your story this week, follow the Spirit. And don't be afraid to share that eternal hope that you have in Jesus as you do that.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Part of that hope and part of that story we have is Jesus. And he gives us freely a meal that we call communion. I'd like to invite our communion servers forward, please. The night before Jesus was crucified, he gathered his 12 together and gave them this meal. I'd like Gayla to read the words from 1 Corinthians.
For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broke it, he gave thanks and said, this is